Objective of effective use of limited military resources. Silent weapon technology has evolved from operations research, a strategic and tactical methodology developed under military management in England during World War II. The original purpose of operations research was to study the strategic and tactical problems of air and land defense with the objective of effective use of limited military resources against foreign enemies. It was soon recognized by those in positions of power that the same methods might be useful for totally controlling a society. Everything that is expected from an ordinary weapon is expected from a silent weapon by its creator, but only in its manner of function. It shoots situations instead of bullets, propelled by data processing instead of a chemical reaction, originating from bits of data instead of grains of gunpowder, from a computer instead of a gun, operated by a computer programmer instead of a marksman, under the orders of a banking magnate instead of a military general. The silent weapon makes no obvious explosive noises, causes no obvious physical or mental injuries, and does not obviously interfere with anyone's daily social life. Yet, it makes an unmistakable noise, causes unmistakable physical and mental damage, and unmistakably interferes with daily social life, i.e., unmistakable to a trained observer, one who knows what to look for. The public cannot comprehend this weapon, and therefore cannot believe that they are being attacked and subdued by a weapon. The public might instinctively feel that something is wrong, but because of the technical nature of the silent weapon, they cannot express their feeling in a rational way or handle the problem with intelligence. Therefore, they do not know how to cry for help and do not know how to associate with others to defend themselves. When a silent weapon is applied gradually, the public adjusts, adapts to its presence, and learns to tolerate its encroachment on their lives until the pressure, psychological via economic, becomes too great and they crack up. Therefore, the silent weapon is a type of biological warfare. It attacks the vitality, options, and mobilities of the individuals of a society by knowing, understanding, manipulating, and attacking their sources of natural and social energy and their physical, mental, and emotional strengths and weaknesses. Repetition. 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 Repetition breeds suggestibility. Repetition breeds suggestibility. I am not suggestible. I am not suggestible. I am not open to suggestion. Repetition. Repetition. Repetition breeds suggestibility. I am not open to suggestion.
On the subject of cardiac emergencies, their recognition and treatment, here is Dr. Rabino.
Disturbances of impulse formation and conduction, which compromise cardiac output and coronary flow, are cardiac emergencies. They require immediate action to prevent death. Abnormal rhythms may be too rapid or too slow. They may result in inadequate impulse propagation, leading to asynchronous and ineffectual myocardial contraction. In these situations, mechanical heart failure may result. Serious sequelae, such as coronary insufficiency, myocardial infarction, pulmonary edema, Adam's stroke attack, vascular accident, and mild
are two examples of a phenomenon called the Doppler effect. In honor of the Austrian physicist Christian Doppler,
who first explained it in 1842. What happens is this. When you are on a moving train approaching the clanging bell, you are actually meeting the sound waves before they would ordinarily reach you. So more sound vibrations impinge on your ear each second than if you were not moving. Consequently, your eardrum is made to vibrate faster, giving you the impression of higher pitch. When you are moving away from the bell, in effect, running away from the sound waves, fewer vibrations reach you during any interval, and the pitch that you hear is lower than it would be if you were not moving. Listen again. In the case where you are stationary and the train whistle moving, the sound waves ahead of the whistle are crowded together and made shorter, while the waves behind the whistle are spread out and made longer. This change in wavelength does not change the speed with which the waves travel, but it does change the number of waves that hit your ear in a second. So, as the train approaches you, more vibrations per second reach your ear, and you hear a higher pitch than you would if the whistle wasn't moving. And as the train goes away, fewer vibrations per second reach your ear, and the pitch you hear is lower than it would be if the whistle wasn't moving. Here is another example of the Doppler effect. Racing cars. As it passed close by. The slower cars, bringing up the rear, changed pitch about a minor third. Obviously, the Doppler effect can be used to measure the speed of the sound source. The greater the change in pitch, the faster the source is moving.
be up all day, pal. Up all day. And right hand underneath that, pal. Just dig it in. Underneath.
Yeah. Hello out there. Scientists used to think that man was pretty much alone in the universe. But now it's beginning to look as if there may be intelligent life on planets of many distant stars. Probably ever since man first wondered about the size of his world, or maybe even before that, he has wondered about whether he and his fellow Earthmen are the only creatures alive in the vastness of the universe. For a while, some people thought that there were signs of intelligent life on Mars, but that idea, which never really gained scientific approval, has now been pretty well discarded. As far as our solar system is concerned, a feeling of loneliness looks more and more justified. The chances of finding intelligent life on nearby planets have become exceedingly less likely as scientific knowledge has increased. But even as science becomes more convinced of the barrenness of the rest of our solar system, ideas have developed which have convinced many researchers that the universe as a whole is literally teeming with life, and intelligent life at that. We now know that there are a greater number of stars in this universe than we could imagine. Each galaxy, such as our own Milky Way, may contain 100,000 million stars. And there are something like 100,000 million galaxies. Let me repeat that. Each galaxy may contain 100,000 million stars. And there are something like 100,000 million galaxies. Astronomers feel that many of this huge number of stars must possess planets. The number of planets in the universe is important because planets are probably necessary for life since they provide a proper environment. They are the only places, as far as we know, where the right chemicals, temperatures, and other factors now believed necessary for the origin of life are likely to be found. Life on the surface of a star itself is impossible, since only the simplest atoms can exist at star temperatures of thousands of degrees Fahrenheit. But on planets, it now appears that life could develop rather easily if the conditions were right. It seems very likely, therefore, in view of the enormous number of planets in the whole universe, that at least some fraction of them must have intelligent life. Even if the percentage with life is very small, the total number of inhabited planets in the universe would still be very large indeed. So the next time you stare out into the night sky, you probably ought to think of it as teeming with life. But you must realize that this life is so far from us that it would be almost impossible for us to establish direct physical contact. The nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is 4 light years away. A light year, of course, is the distance light, of course, is the distance light travels in 1 year. And since light travels 186,000 miles per second, you can see that a light year is a very long distance, something like 6 million million miles. Stars likely to have planets hospitable to intelligent life exist about 10 light years from us. Within a distance of 1,000 light years, there are likely to be perhaps 10,000 or 100,000 promising planets. Even though we couldn't travel to these planets, we nevertheless might send or receive signals. Scientists have decided that if we wished, we could design transmitters to send signals to many of these planets where life may exist. It's also possible that intelligent life on one or more of these far planets could decide to send signals too. May, in fact, have been sending signals into space for thousands of years already. Actually, we are searching for such signals. If we ever do receive them, it would undoubtedly be the most exciting scientific discovery in history. If we should someday get into an interstellar conversation, it would be a most peculiar one. Depending on what planet we happen to contact, we couldn't get a reply to a question we ask right now for from 20 to 2,000 years. The search for intelligent life on other planets, another subject of scientific research and innovation. You can learn still more about the possibilities of communicating with life on distant planets. Included with this presentation are a number of questions for your further research and classroom discussion.
I'm sorry.